You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's got quite an intense outro.
That outro changed my life,
I think.
What's
happening?
I can't feel my legs.
Deep obsession!
Whoa, that was hard out. Hey, but if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, you'd know that it's the New Zealand International Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Okay, yeah?
100%. Right. We can't just call it internationals.
That's
and
true.
Let those foreigners come over here. I'm going real right wing from the get-go, guys.
Take my jokes.
Yeah.
This is good.
Take my laughs.
Now, Rhys Matthewson, you're actually an ex-BFM host.
Yeah, I hosted a show on Sunday nights for like 8 months and then got replaced by Pan Flutes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got to say, flutes are dynamite.
I would have made the exact same choice. 100%. The flutes were doing a much more professional job than me.
No, you hosted a show very much in a similar style to what we've appropriated off you right now.
Is this Bed Bad Taste then?
What? The flutes?
Is this too close to home? Or?
Yeah, this is Vietnam flashbacks.
I think this is a brass flute that counts for anything.
You would get in comedians on a Sunday night to join you, just have a bit of a chat and, trade war stories and influences and that sort of thing?
Yeah, just play some comedy and have a jam. And because it's very rare that we get to nerd out publicly about it unless you listen to any podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. Okay. It was good times.
Okay, nice. Oh, we've actually discovered that it is wonderful taking the time to listen to some comedy as well on the radio.
John,
it's great.
Concurring.
Mm,
yeah, yeah. It has been quite rad. People bringing along clips to play. You've brought along a few, a little bevy here. What am I reading here? I've got Luke Higgy, Beth Stelling.
Yes.
Josie Long, .. something. Too long a name.
It's just Josie Long.
Okay, great. What should we just go? Yeah. Should we kick straight into one?
Yeah. So I kind of picked stuff that people might not have seen before.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So I reckon let's start with Luke Heggy, who's an Australian guy who his run at the comedy festival has already finished. Okay. He was here, but I don't understand why this guy isn't huge. He is so original to me.
Sweet. Okay, Luke Heggy, here we go.
So I've been working on people's houses building. It's excellent, just to occupy my tiny mind for 8 grueling physical hours per day. Most of the time I'll go to work, but sometimes I'll stay home to keep an eye on me. This one woman said to me recently, look, I was going to work from home today. Just pretend I'm not here. Just carry on and do whatever you do if I wasn't here. I said, oh yeah, fair enough. And not even 5 minutes later, I was lying on her bed going through a handbag. Busted in and started screaming at me. And a lot of married couples I work for, they start to panic when the bills mount up and they have to start paying some blue-collar piece of shit like me some of their money. So they say things like, oh, no, you know what, just leave that. Just we're going to do the painting ourselves on nights and weekends. Go, oh, are ya? Well, here's the number of a painter I know. Just give him a call in 3 months when you're dividing your assets, you dickheads. Very good reason modern marriages last exactly the same amount of time it takes for two unskilled people to paint 3/4 of a house. And I don't want to diss the ancient, outdated industry of marriage. It's not my thing, you know. Marriage is excellent. Weddings are the best part of it. Some of the best days of my life have been spent at weddings. So some women, right, I'm not going to say all, and find myself in the letters to the editor again. But, you know, so some women on their wedding day, they'll just go right out of their way to just make themselves completely unrecognisable. And you'll see grown men, they'll cry on their wedding day. It's not because they're, you know, sad, not at all. It's not because they're happy either, like they try to say. They're just sort of confused. You'll see a man nudging a priest and going, hey, mate, can't wait to get married to my soulmate and my best friend and spend the rest of my life with who the fuck is that? Someone walking towards us. She's got a big smile on her face. She appears to know who we are. She's dressed up like a meringue. And for reasons best known to herself, she's got 2 different haircuts on the same head. So I went to my kid's school, right? And this lunatic has approached me and said, look, there's no...
Hey, bummed we missed it.
Yeah, he's one of those ones who's just been coming for a couple of years and slowly building numbers and numbers, but hasn't appeared on our comedy gala or anything like that, so...
Luke Heggy, keep an eye out, everybody.
Absolutely.
Did you catch him this time around?
I did some late shows with him. It's great watching him play to drunk people who he has no time for. He just makes absolutely no concession to, like, check in with the crowd and how you're doing.
Yeah.
He'll just do 15 minutes, and as soon as the light goes on at the back to say you've done your time, he's just, have that, and he's gone. It's incredible.
So the late shows, are they... Are there a couple of comedians on a roster and they just, you all hammer it out 15 minutes each?
Yeah, that's probably your best bet to get like a selection of a few different people during the comedy festival.
Right.
Because most of it is people doing hour long shows where they talk about like one thing and their feelings and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you want like a good time, I mean, if you want a shit time, go see one person. But if you want a good time, go see a few.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you don't want to find yourself trapped in a, I don't like this comedian scenario, and that's your evening.
Yeah, well, just boo.
Yeah.
I say bring it back.
Yeah, actually, look, if you don't like something, speak up. But be prepared to pay the consequences.
Oh, I'm going to get in so much shit with other comedians being like, well done, dickhead.
Do you get, like in these late ones where everyone's only got 15 minutes, do you get the true horsepower? Is that when the number one jokes come out?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Because
you're trying to, you're secretly trying to sell your show to the people there, being like, hey, I've been this great for 15 minutes. Mm. Come and see me do new stuff. For longer.
How long's like a solo show generally go for?
Like 50 minutes, 55?
Far out.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
It's
Are you allowed to have a break in between?
No.
As long as it's funny.
I know one guy, I watched his show, he's coming up in Wellington next week, he's doing an ad break in the middle of a show. He's just written some ads.
Thanks to these sponsors.
It's too long, why not?
Yeah, fair enough actually.
Yeah.
Should we? What's next on the menu? Old mate Reese Matheson in the studio right now. By the way, everyone, don't know if you heard.
This is Beth Stelling, who is an American comedian. She has written for a couple of shows. I think she's been on an HBO show called Crashing. But she came here. They did some. I don't know who it was, but they did some comedy shows down at the Tuning Fork out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years back, and it
back
was
when that place was just finding its vibe.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, it was Beth Stelling and Joe Mandy, who wrote for Parks and Rec, like,
oh, far out.
All of these people who, if you're a comedy nerd, you'd heard of.
Yeah.
Kind of exposing them, so it was cool. So she came out here and I saw her, and it was just it's great. It's like offhanded comedy almost.
No.
Yeah.
Beth Stelling. Stelling, sorry.
Great to be here instead of getting married and having kids. Single for the first time since I don't know. I was a baby. And for a while there, I was going relationship to relationship, and people were giving me a hard time, like I can't be alone. But I look at it like I'm a college educated woman, you know? I don't quit a job before I have another one lined up, you know? The last guy I was dating, we were dating for a while. We went out to eat, we finished the meal, and I'm single because, well, admittedly, I'm a bit of an emotional eater. My feelings are kind of like a studio album. They don't come out until like 11 months after the events that inspired them. As the meal was coming to a close, I decided to order a cinnamon roll to go, just to feel safe. And he looked at me and he said, I love you, but I don't think you need that cinnamon roll. For free. Nobody dared him to say that. I love you, but I don't think you need that cinnamon roll. It's like, I think we should just be friends. Now, it extra offended me because I was actually feeling pretty good about myself, you know? Like, I've been fatter. I used to work in the bagel industry. And when I worked at the bagel shop, I ate too much, too many times. To the point where you could see it on my body. Food's interesting like that. You show your work. And eventually I got so chubby, I thought, ooh, let's see what we've done here, you know? And I decided to hop onto the scale, get some stats down on paper, you know? So I hopped onto the scale, I looked down at the scale, and it said 198. And I just thought, ooh, can we get there? And we did. We absolutely did. Yeah. 198 is not a wake-up call. It's a challenge. Okay? You're going to get 2 pounds away from 200 and not hit it? Please. I did it the very next day. I will say that no matter what the scale says, I do always feel good about myself. You know, I think I have like reverse body dysmorphia or something. Because if you don't know body dysmorphia, it's when you think you're fat, but you're actually stupid. I don't have that. I love my bod. I guess weight gain, weight loss wouldn't bother me if women's worth weren't based upon our looks, but spoiler alert, it is. Yeah. Some men know that, so they know like the highest compliment that they can pay some women is like, hey, I noticed that you lost weight and you look amazing. And that just fills us up, you know, because we're so hungry. If you think about it.
Very nice. Beth Stelling. Now, someone's asking what character she plays on Crashing. Do you know?
No, I haven't actually seen it.
Okay, cool.
Is it good? Text back in.
Yeah,
is it good?
5395, is it worth us checking it out?
Recommend out of 10. I didn't watch it. There's a like... Do you guys... Have you noticed... There's a lot of shows about comedians being comedians.
Yes. The struggle.
And I find that very boring. Like, our job is to make stuff up. Do it with plumbing or something. Put even, like, one extra layer on.
Fair call.
Should we do the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well. We've got a couple more here. Let's get entertained.
Yeah, let's do Josie Long.
Right on.
Josie is a British comedian who is very proudly on the left and has done some really cool stuff using comedy to reach out to people who aren't engaged politically and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So a lot of underprivileged teens and stuff, trying to get them involved in the community and being like, the community can be a good thing. Mm-hmm. So she is... I picked her because she came here ages ago, like 2007, and it blew me away in terms of like how much hope you can put in comedy.
Yeah, fair call.
Which I really think we need a lot of now.
I guess there's a massive tendency to be horrifically pessimistic about humanity, but there are different ways to be funny, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too easy to go and kick over the sandcastle. It's way more fun to go help people build the sandcastle.
Yeah, and if people can leave the show feeling like, oh, rad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
That's the dream.
Let's check it out.
Hi, thank you. Hi, my name's Josie Long. I have bad posture but a good heart, so what's more important? I'm from London and I bring much news of the old country. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about with my little spot here today, and I know that all around the world politics is becoming more and more divided and more polarised, and I was thinking, like, what can I do as a comedian to try and bring people together a bit? And I keep thinking there's this quote from To Kill a Mockingbird. And you'll know it, in To Kill a Mockingbird, what's happening is Atticus Finch is defending a man from false charges, but he's defending him from everyone that they both know, everyone in their town. And what he says, let's kill that mockingbird. That's obviously not the quote! I was like, oh, we should bring people together and not tear them apart. And then I'm like, let's kill a bird. And you're like, sounds great. Guys, no! You just went along. Not one of you's bothered to read that, but not one of you could just be like, oh, I think you finally got the quote wrong. No, not one of you. That's obviously, I'm like, kill a bird. And you just went, that is how fascism takes hold. Bloody went along. Guys, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm sorry, guys. I'll just do the real quote because I don't want to take the piss. And, like, you know, it's important because it's about bringing people together. And this is what he says. He says, is bird killing time? No, I'll just do it for you. Sorry. Some of you are really struggling through this one. I don't think it's fair. That's too much. This is what he says. He says, we must remember a knife and a spade, because after we killed the bird, we're going to bury that fuck. He says, we must remember Daddy's bird-killing gun, because we should. This is what he says. He says, I'm going to kill that stupid pig, isn't he? He says, I honestly don't know what you guys want. We must remember when we are done fighting these people that they're still our friends. And also, to kill the mocking... Okay, the last bit's not him, but the last bit's the quote. This has been a treat. I hope you have a nice evening. My name's Josie Lux. Come to my show. Goodbye.
In what circumstances was she in then? Because she's saying, come to my show. It's some kind of like a big sort of buffet style.
Melbourne Comedy Gala.
So a similar...
Yeah, the smorgasbord of comedians where it goes on far too long.
They whip them out like John said and they just play, they give you your number ones kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's like, it's weird because they make you walk on the stage one side and leave the stage the other. So, so it is like you're a sushi tray yeah. of comedians.
Apparently crashing, 8.2 out of 10. Dark, secondhand embarrassment, heartwarming, and Sarah Silverman episode rules. There you go. And that wasn't capitals, that's Sarah Silverman. But
shit, yeah, I'll give that a crack.
She's a bit of a beast.
Thank you for the recommendation, kind listener.
There you go. I love how it got to the points. 8.2.
Oh, it's good. 8.2 out of 10 is bloody yeah. high.
Feel free to chuck in a recurring.
But critical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, I'd not an 8.3.
I'd love to see
clear.
The scorecard, actually.
Yeah, can you tell us what pushed it over an 8?
Now, what in the... let's for the uninitiated of this comedy gala, international, but New Zealand, what should people be going to see that is still up for grabs, in your opinion, Rhys?
Well, I'd be unprofessional if I didn't say my show.
Good call.
Which is tomorrow night till Saturday in Auckland at 7:15 at the Q Theatre.
A one-hour show?
One-hour show. Okay. Yeah, the shit kind, guys. come see me do that. Who else is up for grabs still? Oh, good. All of the Billy T nominees from this year. Excellent.
It's got to be, right? That's quite an award.
Yeah. Melanie Bracewell, Alice Sneddon, Donna Brookbanks... Two Hearts, which is Laura Daniel and Joseph Harper. They do like a pop parody act that is...
Joseph Harper?
Yeah. Oh, no, Joseph Moore. Oh, I got
shit.
Those two confused.
For a second, I thought it was Old Mate.
Hot damn, I would love to see that act with Joseph Harper.
He would be great,
it.
Right? He's a beast.
Him behind the keyboards of a Brood-style duo would be exquisite. And the fifth person I've panicked and now forgotten, and I can't remember who it is.
Just say yourself again.
Yeah, it's me. I'm going for it again. It's you. It's all of us. In a way, it's all of us.
Hey, laughter is the something-something of the soul. Right? Mm.
Yeah. Fill in the blank.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot.
Well, we're...
Let's get another
what
one
should
in.
We do?
Let's get
we
another one in.
Get one in before
we
the news.
We can pick between Rubber Bands, Rubber Bandits, or Frickin' Dangerous.
Let's do Rubber Bandits.
Okay.
Bit of music into the news.
Tell should us about the Rubber Bandits.
These are two Irish dudes who wear plastic bags on their heads and cut eye holes out mm-hmm. and sing like R&B style comedy music.
Okay.
But with a very strong parochial Irish twist. You might know their song Horse Outside.
Okay.
About having a car that's a horse.
I have to do my research.
And this is a love song to a woman called Roisin.
Hey, Rhys Matheson, thanks so much for coming up, mate. And we employ everybody to get along to the New Zealand International Comedy Fest and definitely catch out your show. Catch up, catch,
go watch.
Do you
know much about the ticketing options for people if they want tickets? They go online and...
Go online to the Q Theatre website. That
throw
is the place to do it because that's where I can see the ticket sales, which I am clicking like every 5 minutes, being like, please come, guys. Gonna lose some money.
It's Field of Dreams, eh? You build it and hopefully they come. Here we go, Rubber Bandits.
Got himself involved, cause I flew just like a butterfly. I sting just like a babe. Baby, you won't find another guy quite loves you more than me. Rushing.
FM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.